Good morning. Thank you for praying for me, Mose. I think we'll just get started here, and I would like to turn to Hebrews 12 and read verses 1 through 15. So I'll just read this, and then I'll have a few thoughts. I don't have a lot. I believe there's a lot in here, but I just have a few thoughts. After we're done, we'll go back through briefly. I also have a couple verses in the Amplified that I might read, just a few of them. So Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I feel like the Lord has been talking to me in this area here, and I don't have all the answers, but I've received encouragement through this, and that is what I hope that will can also do for others. So going back to the first part of the chapter there, I'd like to read verse 1 in the Amplified version. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us. It it gives a pretty a clear picture of what this can do to us. And so then the weight that it's talking about there in verse 1 refers to Colossians 3:8, which I will read here. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. If we're encumbered with these things, they'll bog us down and we can become bitter, discouraged, and lethargic. I'm not sure if I'm saying that word right, but the meaning of that word can be lazy, lack of energy, indifferent, and sluggish. And it's just not the energy to move on and do what God really wants us to do. And if we're in that frame of mind or live that way, it won't really matter to us if we lose the race there in verse 1. Verse 1 says to run the race with endurance and steady, active persistence. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 2, I went in the center column for the word author and finisher, and it says author is originator. So the original, the one with the original idea, and the finisher is a perfecter. He will perfect it. Going down to verse 3. Considering, first part of the verse says, to consider him that endured what Jesus did for us. What he went through on the cross, and what made me stop and think is the way that Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken us? And God gives us a promise. I'm not sure if I wrote it down here, but I will never leave you or forsake you. So we have God's promise in our lives. I think I'll just read 3 and 4 and Amplified as well. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials or my trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Ye have not yet struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have ye yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. There are people that do that, that are being persecuted. I just had to think that, yeah, sometimes the challenges in our lives seem overwhelming, but let me remember and be thankful for the freedom that I have to serve the Lord to the fullest in this time of freedom. If my words, responses, and conversations would be recorded, what would people hear? I had to think if there were a draft, and we know of the war, if there was a draft and these recordings would be used against us or used to determine where I am with non-resistance in my walk with God, would I have to change the way I talk so it matches what I am professing? Okay. Going to verse 5. This is where I'm getting my title from. My title is "Ye Have Forgotten," and this is in verse 5 is where I read that. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. And I looked up the word exhortation. Incitement to that which is good or commendable, advice or counsel. And so it's telling me that he's exhorting us to take this serious. This chastisement that he's talking about is for our good, even though it's sometimes hard to see. I also want to point out about the difference between punishment and chastisement. I looked up the definition. The definition isn't a lot different. So punish or punishment is to pain, to afflict with pain, loss, or calamity for a crime or fault. Chastise is to correct by punishing, to inflict pain by stripes or other manner to recall him to his duty. And so I believe that's what he's saying here, is that this is to better us, is to draw us back, is to help us grow, to teach. I understand, the way I understand it is that it's a critical and necessary part of our lives so that we can grow strong, and every Christian faces these things. I didn't write this down, but there's somewhere in this chapter that we read, it would indicate that. And I've heard before, I've heard other people say it about the caterpillar, about how when it spins a cocoon and it's time to force and work its way out of there, if you were to cut it open and help it out, then it would actually damage it. It might actually not be able to fly. The struggle that it goes through is a critically necessary process to develop its wings. It's the way that God designed it. If we take the easy road or resist God's chastening, we're just hurting ourselves and are avoiding the character that God designed us to be. Going to verse 6. I'll just read it here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I also looked up the word scourge, to whip severely, to lash, to afflict, to torment. And then Proverbs 3:11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. So let's take heart. going down to verse 12. Isaiah 35:3-4 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Down in verse 14. To follow peace with all men and holiness. Psalm 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Are you and I in the midst of turmoil? Peace, peace doesn't necessarily come from having everything go the way I want it or the way that we think is best. But here he says to pursue peace. I don't know what all that means for sure. But it says to pursue it. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Diligent means to be steady in application to business, constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. Psalms 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." It seems like this is serious business to be diligent in our spiritual life here. It speaks about failing of the grace of God, root of bitterness, and defiling others through that. I can't accomplish much if I have this root of bitterness within me. Why is the root so bad? I have 3 points here that may apply. Number one is the root is often hidden. I may look good on the outside, but the root is there taking away the good. Number two, the root is persistent and growing all the time. I can try to cut it off, what I can see, but if I can't take care of all the little roots and the fingers that are gripping that, then it won't take care of the problem. And number three, it sucks the life out of me. It sucks the joy, peace, and energy from us. It can trouble us, or here it says, the root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So it does trouble us, and thereby many be defiled. So I have 4 verses here I want to read that are promises for us. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." So we're not in this alone. God is there. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Romans 8:31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's all I have. God bless you.